Being a Christian woman and walking in God's calling for our lives can be a difficult task. With the world and pop culture telling us to be one way, and the Bible saying another, you kind of end up feeling like an other. Well, you're not alone. Join me now and my friends as we navigate life in our 20s and 30s, while making sure we live out our faith, embrace our femininity, and looking cute. We discuss pop culture, life, careers, relationships, and so much more. Prepare to be entertained and educated. I know you're going to love it. Join our movement and embrace being another girl.
The views expressed on this podcast are our own and do not reflect our employers. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Those Are the Girls with Mallory and Friends. I'm the Mallory and Friends, and I am so grateful that you decided to join us on this podcast today. Thank you so much for picking this podcast, and I think you're going to love it. What I do here is I talk a lot about pop culture and just different things that are woman-based that are going on in the world around us. And then sometimes I have my friends on to talk pop culture with us, and then sometimes I'll have different guests to talk about different things. We've talked about things from human trafficking. We've also talked about what it means to be a biblical woman. We've talked about Proverbs 31 woman. We've just talked about a lot of things. We talked about abortion a lot because that is a topic that comes up a lot for us women. So that is what this podcast is. If you are a Christian and you just kind of want to learn more, or if you don't consider yourself a Christian, you don't consider yourself a conservative, I think you could also really enjoy the podcast. And I am honestly just so grateful to have you listening. I've really been thinking about this audience. Those Are Girls are going to be four in August. And I'm saying we because it's like a group effort pretty much. We've been through so much. And I'm just very grateful for the small little community that we've kind of created and for everyone who reaches out and listens and engages. I'm just so grateful for you guys. And I have some really big plans coming up. That I'm believing God for the funds, but also just for more ideas and more people to join the team to like put all of this together, because I really can't do this alone. That is one thing that I've learned, that like this podcast, though it's Mallory and Friends, it really isn't about me. It's not about me. The topics that we have, I really want it to be a group effort. I want us to be working together to grow as Christian women in this society. So I'm trying to think of what else. A couple announcements. If you do not know, we're having a fun tea party where we are dressing up. We're looking cute. We are wearing pretty princess dresses. We are wearing makeup. We are putting on heels. We are getting dressed up to have a tea party. And this tea party is a little different than regular tea parties. Yes, we'll be drinking tea. Yes, we'll be looking cute and taking pictures. Yes, we'll have little pastries, but we'll also have some really good discussions. Essentially, we're going to be talking about what does it mean to be a girl's girl in culture versus as Christians. Our culture, today's culture, today's society, really pushes back against Christian ethics and our Christian values. So what does it really look like to be a girl's girl in this society? I'm really excited for this. We have a limited amount of tickets, a couple tickets left. If you have not already, please go ahead and purchase your ticket. And I would be so excited to have you there. If you do not live in the Charlotte area, you can still come. Let me know. And I'm going to try to connect people who aren't living in the Charlotte area that are coming. Maybe we can connect so you guys can get an Airbnb together, and then I can make an itinerary. But just let me know if you're interested in coming and you haven't, and you don't live in the area, and you're hesitant and you don't know if you should come. Reach out, talk to me. Let's discuss it. I am just really excited. This tea party, I think, is going to be great. It'll also be a great way to meet new people and people, other girls that are similar, other girls, and girls that are other, similar to you. I don't know why I said it like that. That are similar to you. And, you know, this is a great way. We're going to be building community. We're going to be having good conversations, because I truly think that the way we're going to change culture is to have real, open, honest conversations about real things, instead of just talking so abstract, instead of just, you know, posting things online, which is nothing wrong with it. Obviously, I do that, is really having a conversation and really thinking about, like, what is the actual practical application of a belief that we have. I love my church that I go to. A lot of times they'll, you know, give a, when they give the talking points at the end, he'll be like, this is the practical application. I've been in churches, they don't do that. I really love when you're listening to a speaker, when you're at a church or something, they go, this is a practical application of what we just discussed. And I think that this tea party is going to be kind of a representation of that. So I'm really excited. Let me know if you have questions about it or anything like that. Let's get started. Much to discuss today. I'm going to start off with some pop culture things. And before we get into it, what we like to do is we like to toast. So we raise our cups. This is my Stanley. Actually, everything, if you did not know yet, everything about me is pink. I love pink. I think pink's the prettiest color that's ever been created. I don't, you know, judge if you disagree. Like, people can be wrong on many fronts. But pink is absolutely the greatest color ever created. So anyway, we raise our cups and we clink. Okay. Here we go. Here is this week. This week is going to be kind of broken up into two, I guess, sections. I'm going to do like a pop culture and then kind of just like a real conversation, for lack of a better word. I know that sounds like kind of lame, but we're going to split them up. First thing I want to talk about is Miss Gypsy Rose Blanchard. We talked about her twice, I think, on the podcast, and I was personally getting tired of talking about her. And then I was like, we'll talk about her. Like, let's stop talking about her and we'll talk about her when something else interesting happens. Well, ladies, if you have not been keeping up, something else interesting did happen. Two things. Mrs. Blanchard is no longer a Mrs. She is divorced or separating from her husband, the gentleman that has been that was seen everywhere around her, the gentleman who, you know, she said the D was fire. Yeah, that gentleman. So let's read. This is from E! Online. So this is the first thing. There's two things that she's doing, but let's talk about the first one. So the title of this is, who is Gypsy Rose's ex-fiance Ken Urker? Everything you need to know. So she broke up with her husband, Ryan Anderson. Remember, he was a teacher. He went everywhere with her. And now she was seen with her ex-fiance, because she had a fiance in jail. So this is someone she met prior to Ryan Anderson. Gypsy Rose Blanchard is back with a familiar face. Just days after confirming she had broken up with her husband, Ryan Anderson, the 32-year-old stepped out with her ex-fiancé, Ken Urker, who she was engaged to while serving prison time for the 2015 murder of her mom. In fact, the pair sparked speculation that they rekindled their romance on April 4th when they were seen holding hands while shopping at Dollar General. Okay, that's interesting. So there's that. And let me tell you the other thing, Miss Blanchard is up to. This is from People. Gypsy Rose Blanchard reveals she's getting cosmetic surgery. Wish me luck. Gypsy Rose Blanchard is making even more changes to her life 3 months after leaving prison, which is also crazy because she's like been famous, pop culture, whatever, for just 3 months. In the midst of a major transition in her life, Gypsy Rose Blanchard is making a huge change to her appearance as well. The famed Munchausen by Proxy victim, 32, tells People exclusively she is preparing to undergo rhinoplasty to change the shape and appearance of her nose. I'm going through a personal transformation journey currently, and that includes a physical one too. She says in an exclusive statement, wish me luck with my surgery and watch the whole thing this summer on Gypsy Rose Life After Lockup. According to Blanchard's close friend, the procedure is something she's wanted for a while. All right. First thing, I'm not going to lie. I am shocked about her breaking up with the husband. I know everyone else is like, oh, this is not a surprise, blah, blah, blah. Life is different when you leave prison. Very true, very true. Still shocked me. I don't know. He seemed like a nice guy. I don't know. I was listening to a podcast and the people, one of the women on the toast, one of the girls from the toast has met Gypsy and her husband, everything. And she said that he came off as kind of thirsty and she didn't really like him for her. I don't know. He didn't give that impression to me. I've also never met him. So I honestly was shocked about the divorce. Going back to an ex now that you're out of prison is a little peculiar to me. But, you know, it's not my life. The thing that I think is also wild isn't even getting surgery. Is anyone, if you know, I'm against plastic surgery. I'm against any of those cosmetic things. Unless it's for your health, I don't know why you would get, like, I'm not pro surgery. That's something you can put on, like, put me down for not pro surgery. So I don't think she should be getting that, but that's not even, like, whatever. People get nose jobs all the time. And a girl in my college got a nose job. She's on another TV special. I think this young woman, what's best for her would be to kind of live a quiet, peaceful life for a little bit longer. I feel like it was gypsy, gypsy, gypsy. We got fatigued, didn't hear from her. And then now she's going to do a special this summer. I just think that's a lot. Not as like a consumer of pop culture and because of everything. I don't think it necessarily for that, even though, sure. I think it's a lot for her. Because like when we really think, you know, take ourselves out of it as a society, like she really needs some time to relax and like and to breathe and like to not be under someone's eye. Like she really, like, I do not think this is a good idea. I'm not the one in charge. You know, she doesn't have to listen to me. I don't see this ending well. I don't see this ending well at all. I don't see it ending well. I don't see how this is something that she, it's very concerning that she keeps needing this attention. Now, I think at this point she has the money. Like, initially, like, doing the documentary and, like, doing the podcast circuit, once again, though, I think it's a bad idea. I understand she needed the money. So, but, like, at this point, she has the money, so I don't think it's wise. I don't think it's smart for her to be going around and doing all these things. I don't know. You guys let me know. Do you think this is smart for her to be doing another thing? Were you surprised about the divorce? What do you think about her getting nose? I mean, also, she's wanted it for a while. I mean, she's been in jail for quite some time, so, I mean, now she didn't get it in jail, obviously. So, yeah, you guys let me know. That was just a quick gypsy up-to-date. Another up-to-date is... And because everything just happened so quickly, I didn't get a chance to cover this last week, so you didn't hear the first part. Lizzo is not leaving the music industry. Just letting you know about that now. Now, you're probably like, wait, what? Was Lizzo ever quitting? Yes, she put out a statement saying that she quit the music industry. Let me read that statement really quick about her quitting the music industry, and then I'll read when she said she actually didn't quit, and then I'll give you my take. Okay, let me pull it up. So last Friday, she said, on the March 29th, she said, I'm getting tired of putting up with being dragged by everyone in my life and on the internet. Interesting, everyone in my life and on the internet. All I want is to make music and make people happy and help the world be a little better than how I found it. But I'm starting to feel like the world doesn't want me in it. I'm constantly up against the lies being told about me for clout and views, being the butt of the joke every single time because of how I look, my character being picked apart by people who don't know me and disrespecting my name. I didn't sign up for this S word. I quit. Okay, that's her statement. And then later she clarified last Tuesday that she was not quitting music. Days at the Singer's worried fans with a cryptic message. She said she wasn't about to quit music industry, but how she wants to stop giving any negative energy attention. Quote, what I'm not going to quit is the joy of my life, which is making music, which is connecting with people, she said in the Tuesday video, because I know I'm not alone. In no way, shape, or form am I the only person who's experiencing that negative voice, which seems to be getting louder than the positive. Last year, some of Lizzo's former dancers accused her of sexual harassment and racial discrimination. A former employee alleged that the entertainer condoned a hostile work environment. She seemed to be responding to both allegations and the body shaming in her post. Quote, all I want is to make music and make people happy and help the world be a little better than how I found it. But I'm starting to feel like the world doesn't want me in it. Oh, this is the post. I read the post already, so you guys get the gist of it. So, couple things. The I quit actually sounded a little concerning. The world doesn't want me in it. That... I hope, like, her friends texted her, because no one's really talking about, like, how that sounds because of, you know, she's a little bit right about the body issue, but I'll talk about that later. So nobody really cared that she said that. All the commentators I heard did not care that she said that nobody wants me. The world doesn't seem to want me. And that is very concerning to me. If you have a friend say something like that, I would reach out to them immediately. But the other thing is, when she said, all the people in my life, but I'm starting to feel like the world, wait, let me just, it's not in that part. Okay, she said, I'm getting tired of putting up with being dragged by everyone in my life. That's also interesting. And once again, I think the article is correct. It's referring to her lawsuit. Now, I said this about Crowder last episode, and I'm going to say this about Lizzo. If you did those things, it's not really being dragged. It's just kind of being held accountable for what you've done. So, like, I don't know if being dragged is probably not the right word to say to use that. Because if you did those things, which they're a little too specific for me to believe that she didn't, that means that, like, I don't know, this is your accountability coming to get you. I don't know. That's just me. That's just my thoughts on that. But then I will say the body shaming, like, that's the reality of it. And, you know, I've talked about, I'll do more episodes on it. And as a bigger girl, like, that's the reality. If you're a bigger person, society doesn't really care. I mean, you go, oh, there's so much body positivity. Oh, please. There's no body positivity in real life. Let me tell you something. Let me explain something to you. If you're listening, let me let you in on a little secret. When there was a time, maybe 2 years ago, whenever Lizzo and Cardi B had that song come out together. This is just an example. Like, I realized this before this, but this is just the most modern example I can think of. I think it was like maybe 2 years ago when Lizzo and Cardi B had that song together. Lizzo was getting, people were upset about it, you know, the Matt Walshes, Elijah Schaffers, all those people. And then just regular everyday, like, liberals too. Like, the reality is people don't like to be around them. That's just a fact of the matter. Like, you know, I can wax poetic about it for hours. That's just a fact. People don't. So the majority of people. So she's getting all this attacks, everything. Cardi B, who has done everything in her life to not look like Lizzo. Like, let's be honest with ourselves. She works out. She's doing all this stuff. Not because, oh, this is my, no, she wants to look good. And the way society is set up, thinner is prettier, thinner is better. That's just how it is. That's how it is. Cardi B, who's done everything in her power to not look like Lizzo, says something like, keep going, sister, you're beautiful, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, that is the craziest. Like, I can't stand stuff like that. Like, if you truly felt like she looked beautiful, she did, then you stop doing it. Do the same thing she does. Which I want to say, now I'm going to say something a little crazy. It's going to be a little crazy. Have any of you, if you're listening, have you ever seen clips from Lizzo's shows? She is moving her body. She is doing some, like, things that there's people who are thinner could never. She's dancing. She's doing all this stuff. It's very interesting because I am someone with a bigger body who is working to lose weight, by the way. Just throwing that in there. I'm at, like, minus 20 pounds. No big deal. I have hundreds more to go, so it doesn't matter. But if you've seen, like, I know for a fact I can't do some of the stuff she does. I'm so curious. Like, she is strong, like, physically strong. I am so curious how she does. Because I know myself, I can't do some of the stuff that she's doing. How is she doing that? Now, I'm going to say something a little crazy. I think she's purposely making herself bigger. And I want to say something even crazier. I can see a world, allegedly, I can see a world where she is, like, wearing things even to make it, because that's the gimmick. Because I just do not understand how she moves her body like that. It's so crazy. I know what I said, it's kind of crazy. I know it. But there's something. Like, something, I'm missing something. I will say she is doing things to lose weight, because I watch a lot of people who talk about, like, weight loss and blah, blah, blah. And they have noticed that she is losing weight. And she you can kind of tell, like, she's looking healthier. And there's nothing wrong with losing weight. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. There is something wrong with being unhealthy. And if you are unhealthy, I would suggest, you know, for health reasons to get better, but also, let's be honest, like I said earlier, social reasons. There's a lot of social reasons to get better. A lot. And I can do a whole episode on it. And I will one day. So that's the Lizzo update. I also think she has to realize, like, so she was the golden child. She was, everybody loved Lizzo. Lizzo, Lizzo, sweet Lizzo. And nothing wrong with that. Like, more power to her. But, so she got upset. So this whole thing, I guess I should back a little bit. She performed at an event where Obama, Biden, and Bill Clinton were at. And they were helping fundraise Biden's campaign or something like that. Something random. And she was the performer there. And she got a lot of backlash from both sides. From the right, because they hate seeing her out. They think she's, you know, I don't have to say what all the stuff they say to, about her without her even trying to. Anyway. You know, the right is upset with her because she's her. And the left is upset because of the Palestine things and just because of people just are mad at Biden and X, Y, and Z. So she's getting hate from both sides now. And she's not used to that. And the thing is, well, first of all, welcome to the club, sister. Welcome to the club. Start off with that. And second thing, like, that's part of being a celebrity. You gotta, and I'm, you know, I'm no celebrity, let me tell you. But, like, you're gonna get hate from both. Like, you can't please everyone. And there was a time where I think she felt like she could. And she kind of did. And I think that that time has passed. And it's hard. It really is hard when people who, even people who are supposed to be, let me tell you, the hardest critiques, the hardest things that kind of actually hurt my feelings are when it's people who are supposed to be on my side. Those are the ones that hurt the most personally. So I think that's where she's at. And, you know, if this music makes you happy, if it, you know, she says she wants to leave the world in a better place than she was before. Keep up. Like, don't stop. Just kind of stay. I don't want to say stay in your lane because that doesn't sound right. But, like, do the next right thing. Yeah. Do the next right thing. If you, this music thing, you know, I'm getting attacked and it's hurting my feelings. Then just keep doing the next right thing. And that's my advice. Okay. Next story. I'm going to read something that Shakira said in an Allure magazine, in the Allure magazine. She was the cover person. Okay, here we go. Eve was a story created by misogynists to put women in the little box where we have to remain silent, not speak our minds, and not be a catalyst for change. To keep things as they are. I think there's something refreshing about women when they get to be themselves and be unapologetic. Because we've had to apologize so many dang times in the past. Okay. So I wanted to talk more in depth about this, and I might have someone come on, like, we talk a lot more about that, because the whole Eve, and I don't know if you guys know the Eve and Lilith story, is so fascinating to me. And it is something that, like, you know, if you, so, especially when I was younger, I used to love the History Channel, and I would watch all of their specials, and they used to do specials in the Bible, like, I guess, maybe it's, like, alternative Bible stuff, but where they'd read stuff, they'd do, like, a special kind of, taking apart, like, the Gospel of Thomas, which, if you guys know the Bible, there is no Gospel of Thomas. The Gospel of Thomas is a Gnostic gospel, I believe, and in there, it says stuff like Jesus actually married Mary Magdalene, and, I believe Gospel of Thomas talks about Lilith. Like, it's just a lot of, I can't remember where Lilith came from, but anyway, the legend or whatever, to me, all that stuff is very fascinating, but I will say you have to also be firm and, know what you believe to, like, really get into it. It feels like it's like a fantasy story almost. Cause it's, I don't believe it. It's not true. There's a reason why the books were canon. Certain books were canon. So I don't believe it, but it's just so fascinating. So, you know, the idea of Lilith versus Eve. So when the Bible says God created male and female, the idea, the premise was God created Adam and Lilith, but Adam Lilith, I'm sorry, Adam wanted to be in control of Lilith, and Lilith did not want to be controlled. So she went off and, like, left the garden. And depending on, like, where you hear the story or whatever, it's like Greek mythology. That's what it reminds me of. Depending on where you hear the story, she, like, created demons. She's who Cain married. A bunch of other stuff. So then God created Eve to always be under Adam. Physically. So think physically under Adam. As well as, like, Shakira thinks Eve was. And I think that it's very interesting. I think the story of Adam and Eve and the apple, not the apple, it's a fruit. We don't know what fruit it was. They say the apple, but the story of Adam and Eve and the fruit, I think it's just a very interesting story because depending on who tells it, depending on from the context you're hearing it, you can get a myriad of things out of it. One of the things I get out of it is how men and women, and this kind of leads into some other things we're going to be talking about today, but how men and women work together and we are in things together, and how, you know, men are the head. That's how God created it. And it's okay how men are the head and they are in charge, not in control. God is in control. They are in charge. And women, we need to have our own autonomy in the sense of, like, be responsible for our decisions. Like, that's very important. We need to be, once again, that leads also to the other things we're talking about. We need to be responsible for our own decisions, but we also need help, and men need help. Adam and Eve both sinned, you know? Someone pointed this out. God didn't come until Adam ate the fruit. Eve ate the fruit and went and shared with Adam. And then Adam ate the fruit, and then God came and rebuked them, and you know the story. And it just gets me thinking, like, we still need each other. And I think the idea that Eve is misogynist, and the story, Eve was created out of misogyny, and the idea that, you know, women are supposed to be silent. I honestly don't get that out of there. The idea that they can't speak their minds. I know that's something that a lot of people say, Christianity says, but I just truly don't get that. I mean, the first people to see Jesus were women. The women had to go back and tell. They were the ones who went back to tell the disciples. They believed. Before some of the disciples believed. So I don't see this world in which, like, the Bible is so oppressive to women. I was also listening to a podcast, I believe, or I was listening to something, and it was explaining about how part of the reason why Christianity was so great and radical was because during that time, for example, men could divorce women. Women couldn't divorce. Not even, I'm sorry, not divorce. Men could have sex outside of marriage, but women couldn't. Whereas when Jesus came and, like, the morality of it, when all that stuff started happening to the Jews and in Rome and everything, the thing was, men can't cheat on their wives either. You know, it was like making it an equal, it was showing how we are equal in value. And I think that that is more of what the Bible teaches. And I want to get, not right now, but eventually I do want to get more into that. Like, the Bible teaches that men and women are equal in value. We just have separate roles, and that's okay. No role is, like, worse or less than the other. It's just we're different, and that's perfectly fine. And I think sometimes it's hard because there have been men in the past to abuse, let's be honest, men in the past to abuse this, the Bible, and to abuse people through using the Bible. So then there's women going around having these thoughts and ideas because they haven't themselves read that's another thing too. They haven't themselves read the Bible. They've only listened to people who are misusing the Bible. So that's my thoughts on that. I do want to talk more in depth about that. I want to, like, go through, like, the fact of the matter is, like, the Bible is what showed that there is no male or female, there's no Jew or Gentile, there's no Jew or Gentile, there's no something or something, and there's no male and female, because we're all, God views us all the same. When we are in Christ, we are all his sons and daughters. So there isn't this big, like, women can't do this. Like I said, people abuse it. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but people abuse it. And I think if you don't read the Bible for yourself, that's why it's so important to read the Bible for yourself and to know for yourself what the Bible says. I can definitely see how you can come up with this conclusion. Okay. And that's it on that. Now I want to get to a little bit more serious talk. Yeah, I guess it's a little bit more serious. I want to talk about, I did Love Life this past weekend. And Love Life, for those who do not know, it is when we gather together and we pray outside of an abortion facility. And then we gather together, we do praise and worship, and then we pray outside of the abortion facility. I want to really emphasize that all we do is pray. That's it. It's not, you know, when you do Love Life, you're not necessarily like going up, you're not sidewalk counseling. Sometimes people think that's what we do. We sidewalk counsel. No, Love Life is strictly praying. Nothing more, nothing less. Which is very strong and it's important. And I think it's a great first step if you ever, ever, ever want to come out on the sidewalk and you want to just see if you're like, you know what, I am pro-life and I just really want to, if you're like, I'm pro-life and I want to put my money where my mouth is, I want to see what's really going on, especially in Charlotte. I'm trying to pull up, of course it's not working right now. I'm trying to pull up some of the stats before I kind of talk a little bit about what happened last time, because I do think it's a little, okay, here we go. Have some stats to pull up. So we do that. So I did that yesterday. And I'm hesitating sharing the story because I don't want anyone to feel discouraged to come. But I also want to share the story because I think it's the reality of the situation where we are right now. And I also think, like, if this is something I can do, then you absolutely can do. Like, I'm really not like a super like brave person. Like, I mean, I am, I guess, but like, if I can do something, you can. Like, let's just put it that way. Like, if I can do it, you can. Okay, so let me say this first. Let me kind of read some statistics. So first of all, this, the abortion facility we go to, in Charlotte is the largest in the Southeast. Okay. It is owned by a couple, which is crazy. And they own three of them. One in Raleigh, Atlanta, and Augusta, Georgia. And it's been over for 20 plus years, and they have been killing. I'm going to read this number. 125,000 humans plus. So they estimated more than that because, you know, they track how many women go in, because the day we come is an abortion day. So the only time they are coming in is for abortions. They track how many come in, and, you know, people can be pregnant with multiples. So here we go. It started since Roe v. Wade. They have been seeing a lot of people coming from out of state. So they are seeing about 400 to 500 a week. 400 to 500 women are going into this facility a week. Just let that sink in. Abortions are allowed up to 12 weeks in our state, in North Carolina right now. 2 seconds. Let me hop on my soapbox for a second. It's so important for you to vote. We should be voting for people who want to abolish abortion, because when it comes up, if you voted for a squishy, well, you know, maybe heartbeat type of Republican, then you're going to get a squishy, well, maybe heartbeat type of law. You need to be voting for people who want to abolish abortion, side note. Okay, so these are some of the stats. Let me tell you positive stats. Well, actually, I'll say the positive stats in the second half of this little conversation. So I did love life. And I'll be honest, the last year and some change, I've been going and there. So when you go, we're on one side and across from the facility. On the other side are, they call themselves clinic defenders. They're pro-aborts, death scorts is what some people call them. They are people who are helping the women come in, and really their whole goal is to make us uncomfortable, to anger us, to like protest us, really. It's very interesting. Like, we're praying. I want to reiterate this. All we're doing was praying. We're not talking to anyone. That is what the sidewalk advocates do. What Love Life does is just pray. I want to reiterate that. So we're praying, right? And their goal is to like make us, intimidate us. Well, I'll say a year and a half-ish, there's a particular guy who has been like actually like annoying and kind of mean. If I'm being honest with myself, he's kind of mean. And specifically targeting me. And occasionally I have my Mindy moment where I'm like, you know what? I'm so glad it's me and not someone else who can't handle it. But the reality is, like, at this point, it's been annoying. So on my way Saturday, as it got closer, I knew he was going to be there. And it actually, like, kind of gave me a little pit. Like, I was like, oh, goodness, I really don't want to see him. I don't want to deal with it. Because he specifically targets me and he just says like some mean things about my appearance and about my intelligence and, you know, just trying to make me feel bad about myself and trying to distract me, trying to get a rise out of me. He wants me to yell back and prove that I'm not a Christian. He wants me to curse him out or like flip him off or punch him and show that I can't. That's the whole purpose of it, and is trying to make me feel small. So once again, like, it is what it is, like, that happens. But at the same time, you know, I'm a human. I don't want to, like, it's like, ugh, I don't want to have to go through that. So I'm getting, like, this kind of, like, pit, but I'm like, whatever, I'm still going to go. Well, this particular week, he actually was kind of a little bit much. Like, there was a point where one of the security guards, because there's security there because of, I mean, these people, I wouldn't say they get violent because no one's touching anyone, but, like, moments like this, he kind of like stood in front of me because he was taking pictures of me while I was praying, and like he got right in my face and like took a picture of the top of my head. Thank God, like, my hair doesn't look that bad, but like it was just things that like were very uncomfortable. Same things about my intelligence, made a comment about my shirt, made a comment about my face. Like, it's just things that like are not nice. Okay, he wasn't saying, you know what, my sister in Christ, like, this is what you believe and you go forward. And I want to reiterate, all we do is pray. We just stand there and pray, okay? Like, not talking to him, not talking to anybody. So during this moment, it's like, you know, he's yelling at me and everything. At one point, I, like, just closed my eyes, and I was just, like, praying out loud and trying to, like, focus on God and focus on, like, why I'm there. Because that's the thing. At the end of the day, like, it's about why we're there. We're there because, listen to this, we're there because... so far, 55 babies were saved in Charlotte this year. And we're just in April. 76 professions of faith. 10 professions of faith in Charlotte just this year. 10. There's going to be 10 more brothers and sisters in Christ in heaven from Charlotte this year because so many people decide to come out and pray. There was one more statistic I wanted to read. I don't see the statistic, but let's go back to the 55 babies in Charlotte have been saved this year. That is why, like, I care. That's why, like, I keep going. That's why, like, even though, you know, it's annoying and like I said, it kind of gave me a pit. Like, I kind of didn't want to go. And I also want to add, like, he literally just targets me. Like, it's actually kind of crazy. It's giving, like, obsessed. So I just want to say that. So, like, if you were to come, like, if you're listening, I really do want you to come. Like, he's going to leave you alone. For whatever reason, it's, like, me in particular. Like I said, it's giving obsessed. Anyway, that's the reason why you keep doing it. And it also got me thinking, like, this is kind of what God, like the Bible was talking about, like being persecuted for literally praying. And I just want to keep reiterating, we're not talking to anyone. We're just outside praying. Just imagine a group of Christians just praying. And then these people coming and like cursing at them and saying all these things about them. Like, it's just so bizarre, like, that they react this way. I can't believe it. It's literally just us praying. Okay. Nothing more. Just us praying. So yes. That's kind of what it made me think of. Just like the Bible talks about like persecution. And like, that's what it felt like. That's how I felt, being persecuted for my prayers. And it just really, once again, like, you keep going. 55 babies were saved this year so far. And it's just April. 55. That's a lot of babies. And you keep going. And it really, so this is a transition to the next story we're going to be talking about. It just really kind of says, when we say we're pro-life, when we say we care about life in the womb, when you say that, when you make a proclamation, when you go on your platform and say it, when you talking to your friends and you say it, do you truly mean it? If something were to happen, if there's pushback, do you actually mean it? Which leads me to the next story. For those who do not know, it was exposed that the guy Fresh from Fresh and Fit, he asked his girlfriend to take the abortion pill. I'm gonna play a clip of the clip that's going around, and then we're gonna kind of discuss it. Okay, 1 second.
Maybe because I don't wanna kill the baby. I don't wanna kill nobody. I don't want to.
Why not? Maybe take a pill and it's over.
No. No. I'm pregnant.
No, but that's what I'm saying. The pill, they just give it to you for dark and then you're good.
I am pregnant. I can't pretending like nothing happened. I can't. In my religion, we don't kill.
You're not killing. Okay.
I want to keep the baby. Okay, so what you gonna do? And what you gonna do to me? Nothing? No, I know. So, like, how are you gonna deal with this? By saying I don't want a baby? That's all? The doctor. So you want an abortion?
Yeah.
And why do we make?
Okay, we'll just stop for right there. You guys get the gist. I'll link it so you can listen to the whole thing. So, what I was saying earlier about the idea that, you know, you're saying you're pro-life, you're saying that you believe this, like, what do you do when faced with, like, reality, when things happen to you, like, how do you respond? This is a perfect example. For those who do not know, this is Fresh from Fresh and Fit. There are two guys who have a podcast where they essentially call women whores and 304s and, you know, say that they're awful, evil people and say that women are just having abortions and how terrible it is women just get rid of their own seed, and I can't believe women have abortions, they're just awful human beings, and like, men, you need to get paternity test every time you, even your wife, like, she's probably cheating on you too, and they're just part of that red pill alpha male thing we've talked about. I'll link the article we did about that last year. They're part of that whole thing. Now we see that he is asking, really begging, this girl for an abortion. And I just want to say, like, this is also why, well, there's two aspects. Let me talk about the first aspect. So you see, he's doing that. So right now it's really like contrarian and like cool to say that you're pro-life. And you're like, oh, Mallory, it's not cool to say you're pro-life. No, it's not. It's contrarian to say you're pro-life right now. That's how society is. And there's so many people now who are just contrarians. And let me tell you, you don't want someone who is contrarianly pro-life and not convictedly pro-life. Because this is someone who's contrarian to be, like, you know, you don't like women. So you're like, let me just pick something. Like, he's an example of, like, when the pro-aborts are like, it's not about the baby, it's about control. Wow, like, you know, they say that, I'm like, no, that's not, okay, well, he's an example, like, good job, you helped the pro-aborts with one of their arguments, you know, like, this is, that is the example, this is what that is. And this also, you know, as people, as Christians, is something we have to think about, because we're saying we are pro-life, we're saying that we are X, Y, and Z, but when push comes to shove, when situations happen, are we actually living that? It's so easy to say women should not get abortions, even if they are have unexpected pregnancies. And then when you get unexpectedly pregnant, like, what is your response? You know, it's so easy to say that if it's not happening to you. If you're truly convicted, it's an easy, oh, okay, well, this happened, let me move forward. It's so easy to say, even to sexual activity, it's so easy to say, oh, no, do not. Having sex before marriage, oh my goodness, how can you? Abstinence, oh, my middle name. Until you get in a situation, you know, it's so easy to say when you're single and when, you know, no one's asking you to have sex. When you get into a situation where you are presented with the opportunity to have sex, what do you do then? You know, as Christians, that is, you know, where we differ from the world. That's where we differ from culture. Is how do we respond when these situations happen? And, you know, Mr. Fresh, well, he's not a Christian. So don't think that. Actually, I think that girl is a Christian, but Fresh, not a Christian. So, but that's just something I want you guys to think about. Like, when you are in a situation where you are faced with something like that, like, how do you respond? What is something that you say? What is something that you do? Let me know. That's part one of this, part two of this conversation. Girls, we cannot let men who are just talking be like, we can't let that be our, I don't want to say downfall. We have to look for fruit. There is, and we're going to talk about this, it's the last story, but there is this new movement going around to make sure every woman over the age of 30 knows that she is out of her prime. She is not worthy of love. And she's just going to die with cats. There's this new movement going around. And I would be lying if I said sometimes I didn't internalize that. Because it's people who are saying it who are people who I used to really respect and value their opinion. Used to, not anymore. And I think because of that, girls specifically, are settling. And that is my biggest concern about that. But, and once again, I'll talk about that in a second. But for this specific thing, we have to look at fruit of people's fruit. You know, the fruit of the spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Yeah, those are the fruit. Yeah, those are the fruit of spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Yeah, yeah. Kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Fruit of the spirit. If you are dating someone and they don't have those, like, run, you know? And let's be honest, I don't, you know, from what I have seen, Mr. Fresh don't have none of that. So this woman says she's religious. She doesn't say what religion she is. And, you know, I don't know much about her, so I can't really speak on her fruit. But, you know, if she keeps the baby there, I mean, there's fruit there. That's, I think, a good example of fruit. Which I think I read or saw somewhere that she did keep the baby. I have been thinking about that, though. I'm like, we're all talking about this, but, like, what about the baby? So I did read somewhere that she did keep the baby. If I find out otherwise, I'll let you guys know. But anyway, this is why it's so important to look at fruit. And you don't just, you know, we don't have to just be with any guy that says that likes us. And, like, I know it's hard. I do. Like, trust me, I'm 29 years old. I totally understand how hard it is to watch everyone around you get married and have kids, and, like, that just, who knows if that's going to happen to you. Like, I get it. You cannot jump at any guy that says boo, you know, like you can't do that. And I think this is an example of that. We have to pick better, you know, like people talk about women not having taken responsibility. I think it's an example of like women, we have to start taking responsibility. You know, we can't be so, for lack of a better word, desperate to get married. And I'm talking to myself, like I'm probably gonna listen to this back. You know, we can't be so desperate to get married that we just kind of end up with any, what is the saying, Tom, Dick, or Harry. Like, we have to be better than that. And that kind of leads me to the last thing I want to talk about is, like I said, there's this new movement to let women know, make sure women, every woman knows that once she turns 30 and she's not married, she's out of her prime. She's not worth it. She should just have cats and die alone. And, you know, they say, these people say there's someone turns 18 every day. So there's this, that's, you know, what's going on. I, like I've said before, it's hard not to internalize that as someone who's 29. It's hard not to internalize that because the fact of the matter is, their, you know, arguments are people who've just slept, girls are just sleeping around with any and everyone. I'm curious who they're sleeping with, because anyway, girls are just sleeping around with any and everyone, and they're choosing a career over this. And as someone who, like, is not sleeping around with any and everyone, was not someone who, you know, for those that know my story, like, I messed up my career was supposed to go a completely different direction. Thought I was getting married, so I messed that up because this person said he loved me and I believed him, you know? So like, I don't fall in that category. And here's the crazy thing. If you're listening, you probably don't either. And you probably know tons of the girls who didn't. So that's why it's also very peculiar that this is such a weird phenomenon. And I'm just trying to figure out, where are these nice, sweet Christian men that are just want to marry a nice Christian girl? That's all they want. Where are they? Because I haven't seen them. I've seen tons of Christian men that want to sleep with Christian girls. Haven't really seen a lot that want to marry them. That's just me. All that to say also, this gender war is like futile. There is nothing good that comes out of the gender war. There's nothing good with blaming men for everything. And there's absolutely nothing good when blaming women for everything. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to. It's hard because, like, you know, sometimes people, I see stuff on Twitter, I'm like, actually, that's like not true. And it's very strange that only men, blah, 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 you know? We got to get out of this gender war stuff. And we got to get out of this mindset. And I really don't, my biggest concern is, like, you know, these people who, a lot of us, actually, I've heard, sometimes I'll post like a rebuttal, things like that. And I get a lot of messages, not just me, but like a lot of other people have like stopped listening to some people because it's just, something happened in 2020 that just people just became something else. And, you know, we're kind of tired of it. I don't want to participate in it either. Like, you can't make someone love you. Like, if someone wants to marry you, then great. If they don't, then they don't. And, like, at the end of the day, like, isn't God's timing better? And we can't be, my other concern is people are going to be so desperate because they don't want to be, especially young girls, they don't want to be you know, how some of these guys are like, yeah, they're past their prime and no one wants them. So they're at home with their cats. Like, nobody wants to be that. So then they're going to start making decisions and like being with guys just because, you know, just because I don't want to do that. And that's my biggest concern, because the thing is, you'd rather marry, it's better to marry late than marry wrong. Point blank period. Is it better to marry late than marry wrong? And that's my concern. My concern is, the more all of this rhetoric of how like women are past their prime, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, what can I do? Because once again, I'm talking to myself, I'm going to be 30 this year. And no idea if, when, or how I'll get married. That's all in God, like, no idea. So it's like, what do we do? I desire it. Not sleeping around. I don't have a cat. So, like, what do we do? I'm also a Christian. So how do I live this? I think I want to do a series on, like, so you're 25, you're a woman that's 30 plus and single. What do you do now? I think I want to do, like, a series on that, maybe. Just kind of, like, talking about, and maybe even doing, like, because I'll be going through this myself, kind of just, like, how do we live and not be, the other thing is, like, nobody wants to be sitting at home sad all the time. Like, oh, God, I'm not married. Like, honestly, I know a couple people like that, and they're annoying. Like, they're not really fun to be around. You want to be, I think you should be busy. Like, I think you should be doing things with your life. I think you should have other interests other than getting married. I think getting married is great. I think that we all should desire it. I don't think it's wrong to desire, but you gotta have something else going on, because you're not, I feel like you're just not able to be a full functioning human if that's, I must get married, I must get married. And that's all you think about, you know? Those are just my thoughts. I want to wrap this up by saying that if you're, you know, over 30, you're not, it's not like you're out of your prime. That's just such a crazy thing to say. And I want to say, like, don't settle. Do not settle. And when I say settle, I don't mean, like, being with someone under 6 feet. That's not settling. That's such a stupid requirement. I mean, someone who you don't has, who does not have the fruit of the spirit. Someone who says that they watch porn and there's no big deal and they have no, they're not going to stop. Marrying someone like that, that's settling, my sister. And don't do that. Like, that's the other thing, too, that these guys, these, and it's men who are mainly doing it. But that's something that these people who are, you know, explaining things, but they never say, and what you should be looking for. It's you women, you disgusting women. You guys have slept with everyone in the book. Now, wait, who is everyone? You know, I'm always wondering that. Like, why is it always, anyway, you women, you've slept with every man in the book. And now, you just stay at home with your cats and do your job. But as Christians, like, that's not even what we're called to do. So, like, what is the alternative? Like, what are we supposed to do? So I think I want to do a series like that. If I had the money, I would do one of those, like, traveling series where, like, I travel the world. Like, this person didn't get married till 35. What were some of the cool things she did to keep? Like, I think that'd be fun. If you own a company that does production, hit me up. I have a couple ideas. If not, we'll just do, like, some audio stuff. But hit me up. I think that'd be cool. Like, as a Christian, but, like, make it Christian, because, you know, once again, how the world views singleness is very different than how we as Christians view singleness. And we want to do it the Christian way. If we're a Christian, you want to do it the Christian way. We don't want to sit at home twiddling our thumbs, sad because we're out of our prime and playing with our cats. You know, that's not how you're supposed to do it. So the Bible gives us really cool, or the Bible gives us, like, a picture of what it should be like. Going about our father's business. And, you know, Proverbs 31, woman had a business, things like that. Like, there's things we could be doing, but that's never talked about. So I think I want to do a series on that. Let me know if you think that's a good idea. Give me some topic suggestions of things that I could do. And like I said, if you own a production company, I have some ideas. Like, hit me up. That would be so fun to, like, kind of travel the country, like, meeting different women and kind of seeing, like, as a Christian, like, what are some things that you did? And, you know, if you never got married, how did you reconcile with that? Or people who aren't even married, like 80-year-old women who are, like, who lived a life of just servitude the whole time and never met anyone. Or even, like, someone who meets someone at, like, 60. Like, how beautiful is that? Anyway, let me know if that's something you guys will be interested in. And if you enjoyed this episode, please give it a like, subscribe, do all the things. Thank you so much for listening, and have a good day, night, evening, however you're listening. Bye.